What? Ho, oh, this is Brian. Call me your cozy baby gardener. Coming to you from the Devil's Hole, a.k.a. Ramble on Towers, Dungeon Studio in scenic and toasty warm Hespler, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 120 on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network. Ramble on Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to RambleOnRadio.com for your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, go over, leave a review, rate it. Leave a star or 3 stars or 5 stars, or that's as many as you can leave. And it helps other people find Ramble on Radio is what that does. You can get us on Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit. Listen on Spreaker, Spreaker. And be sure to follow Ramble on Radio on Spreaker. And I shouldn't even tell you that, because I'm probably ditching Spreaker for the half dozen people who listen on Spreaker. Fair warning, they've changed their policy. I get less free, and they're bugging me to spend some money on server space. And like I say, there's maybe half a dozen people listening on Spreaker. I get very little traffic from that. So I think Spreaker's going to be ditched. I'm also on Stitcher Radio. Trying desperately to figure out if there's people actually listening on Stitcher. Hey, if you're listening on Stitcher, go to the Facebook page, go to Twitter, drop me an email, and let me know, because I can't seem to get any stats for Stitcher Radio for some reason. So also, check out Ramble on Radio on YouTube, follow Ramble on Radio Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble on Blog on Twitter. And how'd you like that intro? The intro was a little Jason Bonham tribute. The first piece of it was band, his first album. The first album on his discography from 1984, I think it was, when Jason would have been like 18 years old. Band called Air Race. Album called Shaft of Light. And that little clip was a song called Promise to Call. Then that was followed up by Black Country Communions, The Ballad of John Henry. And, of course, that was a very familiar drum beat to us Led Zeppelin fans. And then Good Times, Bad Times from the O2 show in 2007. Hard to believe it's been almost 10 years. Impossible to believe it's been almost 10 years. Which means, by the way, it's been 10 years I've been doing this blog. It's probably been 7 years I've been doing this podcast now. So, oh, holy cow. So there it is. No, it has not been. 5 years ago, 2011 is when I started the podcast. Towards the end of August, actually. I think I should do a little tribute to me podcast in the next little while. Which would be great. A podcast is a podcast, and I know you're out there going, just do a podcast. We don't care. What is your tribute? And in that spirit, tonight we will do a little tribute to Jason Bonham. Many apologies for the delays. Life's busy. This just kind of got put aside. Other things in life and nothing so urgent, nothing so, just seemed to be busy and truthfully, not a lot other than the stairway trial. What exactly was going on? Not a lot really. I mean, Robert's been doing some shows, and I confess I'm not up to date on his performances in terms of how they are. Not had a chance to check out any videos and stuff, and I'll do that for the next one. Because he has been touring, he has been doing some performances in Europe. But outside of that, it's been very, very quiet in the world of Led Zeppelin. There was the trial, of course, but I think, like I kind of covered beforehand, my thoughts on the trial. And then, you know, there was a lot of talk. All the news groups, all the everything. The official forum for badge holders only. And lots of, your standard newspaper was covering this trial fairly in depth. Some idiotic people writing for them and whatnot. Of course, you got some real lousy reporting in many ways, and you got some, but you had some excellent ones. There was a video rolling around of a CBC report in which Rick Emmett was interviewed amongst a few other people, and they talked about it, and Emmett pointed out how crazy it was. Jeff Beck recently talked about how crazy it was. It's just a chord progression. You cannot copyright a chord progression. But I really didn't think there was much I had to add to the, you know, the conversation. And I didn't really know that I had much to say. Now, I did try to get, forgive me while I do the quick lookup. If you followed Pamela Chalin, Chalin, at Pamela Chalin on Twitter. If you followed Pamela, she was there. She is a music reporter. She works for Rolling Stone. She does, and I have to bring up, I have her bio here, right? LA Weekly, LA Times, Spin, Rolling Stone, Village Voice, Forbes, The Wrap, etc. Lovely Toronto girl, by the way. Us Southern Ontario people stick together. Lovely Toronto girl. And she does a lot of court reporting. She actually did some law school. And she was excellent. She covered the trial excellently in detail, top notch, on top of things, blah blah blah. So I did try, kind of talked about getting her on, talked to her during the trial a bit, and I must confess, didn't chase her enough. And then after the trial was over, we discussed it a bit, and then the long weekend came up, and she was taking the long weekend off, and I kind of decided to myself that once the long weekend was done, it was probably getting past where it's newsworthy. So what I decided was, there's talk of an appeal. The lawyer talked about it. The lawyer will be appealing, and there's talk about it for, you know, and Led Zeppelin sued for costs. So it's not quite done yet. So as other stuff comes up, I'll try and get her on, and we'll talk about the trial a bit then, and try to keep it a newsworthy conversation. But hopefully it'll work out that Pamela will come on, and anytime something like this comes up, any case comes up, if you know somebody sues them for something else next week or something, you know, we can get Pamela on and talk about the legalities and whatnot. Hopefully that would be a nice, that would be how it would work. But we'll have to see how that plays. But so I don't have much to say about the trial, other than I'm not shocked by the outcome. I think it was a reasonably predictable outcome. And the only other thing to mention, by the way, I did mention there was talk of an appeal, and Led Zeppelin sued for costs. The lawyer in the case, Francis Malefic, was actually sanctioned and slapped with a 3-month suspension for disregarding various rules of conduct in the courtroom. And this relates to a case he had against R&B star Usher, who was accused of stealing the song Bad Girl. I have no idea what song Bad Girl sounds like, who he might have stolen it from, etc., etc. But he lost that case too, and acted like an ass in the courtroom. And the trial judge actually said to him, kind of at one point, says, "I don't have authority to recommend disbarment, but if I did, I would," you know, which basically means he did recommend that. So he's been slapped. You know, interestingly though, it happened about a week after the Led Zeppelin case, and everybody was, the Led Zeppelin lawyer is, you know, is sanctioned. Led Zeppelin lawyer suspended from practicing law. Please forgive the dog. The dog knows not what he does. This is, Jesus, 20 after 12, he's barking at shadows outside. We have teenagers in the house, dog. They come home at midnight on a Sunday night, you know? What are you going to do? You know, Robert Plant sang about the black dog. I got the bad dog. Growled at me. I'm sitting outside the door going, because I'm talking about her. So a lot of the stories kind of talked about the Led Zeppelin lawyer was sanctioned, and it made it sound like it had something to do with the Led Zeppelin case, which it was an absolute coincidence that it was the week after. I thought it was kind of shabbily reported. And somebody not paying close attention would say, oh, he did something wrong during the Led Zeppelin trial or something. And well, the judge seemed to not have a lot of patience for him. But it doesn't mean that, there's no relation between his sanctioning and the Led Zeppelin case. Okay, let's go into history. July 11, 1983, The Principle of Moments release, Robert Plant's second solo album. And longtime listeners of this podcast know I'm actually quite a fan of Robert Plant's first two solo albums, Story at 11 and Principle of Moments. I think are really, really good albums, really excellent albums. Robbie Blunt's guitar playing, especially on The Principle of Moments, is outstanding. Very unique. Doesn't approach the guitar like a traditional rock and roll guitarist does. And there was a lot of comparisons at the time to him and Led Zeppelin. Oh, he's just got a Jimmy Page imitator. And I never thought that was fair, but I did think the one thing they had in common is they don't fall back on standard licks and standard lines. They attack the guitar differently. They use different voicings. They come at it a little differently. So that was Principle of Moments, July 11, 1983. On the 13th, 1985, was the horrible Live Aid show. Not a fun one for Led Zeppelin fans, remember, or Robert Plant. Robert Plant reportedly, after the show, phoned home. Of course, it was being, for those who don't know, Live Aid was like a big charity gig, and there was one in London, and there was one in Philadelphia. And you know, kind of 100,000 people at each, and they were bouncing back and forth between the two via satellite, which was kind of newish technology at the time. And so somebody would play a song or a couple of, do a small three-song set in England, and then while they were changing the stage, bringing the next act, somebody in Philadelphia would play their three songs, and it would be shown on the screen in England. And each concert would be shown on the screens. So you kind of were getting two concerts. And it was filmed, it was shown at live on TV, so you could sit at home and watch the whole thing. So Jimmy Page, or Robert Plant, phoned home afterwards and talked to his daughter, and she goes, "Wasn't very good, was it?" And he goes, "Well, I guess not." So, but a lot went wrong with it, including, the organizers decided it'd be really cool to have Phil Collins jump in on drums. He played the morning in London, jumped on the Concorde, flew to Philadelphia, which is about a 5-hour flight on the Concorde, because the Concorde was the faster than the speed of sound supersonic jet that no longer flies. But so it's about 5 hours Philadelphia to London. So he did the morning set, then showed up in the afternoon, and the idea was he was going to play, first person ever to play two shows at the same, on two shows in Europe and America on the same day. And so he kind of got crammed under Led Zeppelin's set, and they didn't even know ahead of time that that was going to happen. And so they went out with two drummers, one of whom they hadn't rehearsed at all with, and it was poor. It went poor. The 14th of July, 2011, JimmyPage.com was launched. And that's how I know that's when I launched this podcast, because I was in New York with Steve the Lemon Sour at the time, and I was toying with the idea then of the podcast. So that was 2011. July 20, 1960, this is the 18th, by the way, so in a couple of days from now, 1969, now that can't be right, it's 1968, Jimmy Page and Peter Grant go see Robert Plant singing for Hobbs Tweedle, H-O-B-B-S-T-W-E-E-D-L-E, Hobbs Tweedle, I'm sure the H is silent, at Birmingham Teachers Training College. And it is through seeing that show that Page invited Plant to his boathouse and spend kind of a couple of days and decide if they fit, if there was a fit there. And from there, Led Zeppelin was formed. And in 1969, on the 21st of July, they played Central Park in New York, the Schaefer Music Festival. Big kind of show in there. All right, so we've gone through the Stairway trial. Last podcast I talked about some bootlegs, specifically the soundboard stuff that has been out the last couple of years. Something popped up this last, probably about 3 weeks ago, on one of the websites, and it's called the Holy Grail DVD. It's Earl's Court, May 25th, 75. It's a video of Earl's Court, and most of the video seems to be from the cameras that were shooting the band for the purpose of the big screens. It seems to be the raw footage of that is used. In other words, exceptional quality. It's unbelievable. I burned the first disc and I threw it on to make sure it works, and I ended up sitting watching the whole thing, just gobsmacked. It is playing, and you have to see In My Time of Dying to Believe It. Page is playing, and it is just unbelievable. So I'm sitting gobsmacked on a Saturday morning watching this and decide I gotta make one for my brother. And my friend Ron. Oh, my brother-in-law, Barry. And my other friend, Brent. And so I ended up burning five copies of this, three discs each. And I burned five copies of each disc to give to these people I know. So it just keep your eye open. It disappeared almost as quick as it showed up. And I didn't get the third disc, and then somebody else posted the third disc, or posted it again, but I'm guessing it was not up for long. It seemed to be a timed thing. But, you know, as you're surfing the internet, keep your eye open for the Holy Grail DVD. It's really worth seeing, and it's worth grabbing. So much so. Unbelievably good. All right, I mentioned Robert's performing. Listen to me, stuttering. Because, you know, all the professionals stutter. Oh, that's what we do. So, yeah, Robert's been performing in Europe. And we have actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 shows under his belt since July 1st. July 1st in Belgium, Wachter Park, in Wachter Park. I think I would never be able to pronounce that. July 2nd in St. Clair, France. July 4th in Istres, France. Istres, Istres. July 7th in Portugal. July 9th in Spain. July 10th in Spain. 14th in Madrid. So it's Barcelona, Balboa, Madrid, and Marbella in Spain. That's the 16th. That would be 2 days ago. And I'll give you a sample set list here, I think. This is from July 14 in Spain, and it goes Babe, I'm gonna leave you. Tin Pan Valley, what is and what should never be. Spoonful. The Rain Song, All the King's Horses, Poor Howard, Friends, Little Maggie, Fixin' to Die, Whole Lot of Love, Rock and Roll, Going to California. And that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of 13. And that's, there was one actually, I was looking at one of the first ones that he did, and it was 75% Led Zeppelin set. So you're going to get your Led Zeppelin songs. I have not picked up, gone to YouTube and checked out any of the songs. I just haven't had a chance to do that and sort of how he's covering the songs. Not sure. He's been doing What Is and What Should Never Be for a little while, I think. But I don't think I've caught a video of it. Hey, this is an interesting set list. This is one of the France ones. That's the Way to Start. Dancing in Heaven. I'm gonna have to look that one up. But what's that from? Poor Howard, Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, Spoonful, Fixin' to Die, Black Dog, Little Maggie, Crossroad Blues, Just Wanna Make Love to You, You Need Love, Whole Lot of Love, Who Do You Love, Whole Lot of Love, Satan, Your Kingdom Must Come Down in My Time of Dying, and Rock and Roll. That's a pretty cool set list. And I know I should know Dancing in Heaven. I know I'm going to boot myself when... it's from Mighty Ray Ranger. Okay, yeah. That's a neat set list. But that's an idea of what he's playing. And I'm all into hearing That's the Way all day, any day, by the way. Here's the first one in Belgium. The Lemon Song, Rainbow, Black Dog, Turn It Up, Black Country Woman, No Place to Go, Days Confused. Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You, Little Maggie, Fixin' to Die, Rock and Roll. So it had... I thought I saw That's the Way in there somewhere. So Black Country Woman's getting a play... He's moving some stuff in and out anyway. So that's what's happening. Robert's doing that, and I'm sure there's videos on YouTube and all sorts of, you know, cell phone videos and stuff. But again, I'm not up on him at this stage, and that's my fault. That's all me. But if you're in Europe, gotta check his. You'd be checking his tour schedule. Yeah? See what's going on? Because if from here, just checking this quickly. So today, he was supposed to play tonight in Nice, France, and that's been canceled. That's the jazz festival. Canceled due to the terrorist incident in Nice last Friday, I'm guessing. So on the 20th, he's in Milan, in, 22nd, Napoli, on the 24th, which is, my birthday, Taormina, Italy, T-A-O, I'm not wearing my reading glasses, so I could be very off on this, T-A-O, that's the font. Taormina, Taormina, Italy. Yeah. The 27th in the Czech Republic. 28th in Austria. 30th in Croatia. 2nd of August in Germany. 3rd in Switzerland. 5th back in the UK. Oh, forgive me for the yawn. It's late at night and it's been a busy, busy day. So that's what plan, and that's in its way, as I kind of pointed out before, that's what's happening in the Led Zeppelin world. Robert Plant's performing. Those are the dates, and if you're in Europe, it's probably worth checking out. Looking at those set lists, I'm thinking it's worth checking out. All right, our friend, my friend, the friend of the program, Dave Lewis, has his latest issue of Tight But Loose magazine out. It is, issue 41, and I actually got an email from Dave a couple of weeks ago. Did you know your subscription has lapsed? I actually thought I was subscribed through for the year. I thought I, but I must not. Well, I wasn't. So I had to send in a subscription for the year. And I think he fell behind somewhere. So there was one got missed somewhere or something. And then, so the, therefore, I was good for the beginning of the year. And then, I don't know. I don't know how it happens. But there you go. It is, as always, excellent. I have not even finished reading it. And I've had it in my hands for a while. But stunningly good stuff, as always, Dave. And we'll get Dave on probably sometime in August and talk about it. We'll make that happen for sure. And it comes complete with a picture of John Paul Jones from Chicago Stadium, January 20, 1975, by Lawrence Ratner. Limited edition, specially numbered, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it's kind of a cool picture of Mr. Jonesy. And the reason Jonesy's featured picture-wise in the issue is because Mr. Jones is interviewed in the issue. So we haven't had an interview of John Paul Jones. And it's quite good. Except except to say that he's interviewed him a number of times and he's met Miss Jonesy, met Mr. Jones, Jonesy to him, Mr. Jones to me, you know. Fair enough, by the way. That's not a complaint, as it should be. See, I'm looking for the interview. I can't even find it. There it is, way up at the front. And he calls it catching up with John Paul Jones. They've known each other for a while, and it is a chitty chat more than it's a serious interview. He asks some questions. They run through some stuff. I don't think there was any. I don't recall there was anything really meaty in the interview. I don't think there was anything that made you stand up and go, "Oh my, that's news," or, you know, it's. He mentions that the opera is more or less done. The orchestration is done now, talking to several opera house directors. Then they move on. And it kind of goes, he kind of surface answers, and then they move on. But it's a good, you know, that's a different type of interview, is the point. Really, it's not a bad interview. It's there's different types of interviews, and you need to understand sometimes what you're getting. What you're getting is more of a chit-chat between a couple of people who like each other and have talked for, you know, they go back together now. You know, it would seem strange, I'm guessing, to Dave to say this. But the 1980 tour, he met them a few times, and he was, you know, kind of hanging around with them backstage and in the hotel. So for both of them, there's a relationship that and with all the guys in the band, really. But Mr. Jones seems to have it seems to be a relation cultivated mostly with Jones, in a way. And so you know, you would be, even if it's an unbalanced relationship, even if you don't see each other very often, you go back so long together that it becomes friendly and it becomes a chit chat. When you talk, right? You're just kind of covering stuff. And I think it's kind of what they do in this. Makes for an okay interview. It makes for a good interview sometimes. But it's not, yeah, it's not a meat and potatoes interview. But, like I say, I'll have Dave on. We'll get him explaining it much further. And I'll have a chance to finish reading the whole thing. It's unbelievable. So much information. So many words go into these things. So much information gets crammed into them. It's such a project he does. Such a job he does on them. And you can go to, what's the website? typeutloose.co.uk and order. You can also order his various books. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, I highly recommend his Nebworth/1980 tour books. They're as good as anything on the band. All right, and finally, we're going to talk some Jason Bonham. Jason turned 50 this week, 3 days ago, I guess. Well, 2 days ago, probably. This is after midnight, so And I have news. I have Jason Bonham news. I have not heard this anywhere else. And I don't know much about it. But I have news. I have possibly really big Jason Bonham news. There is a new movie. It's in pre-production currently, called Music on the Bones. And Jason Bonham is going to be in it as an actor slash musician. And I'll tell you my source, IMDb. IMDb'd him because I knew he had some discography there, and this turned up. So, but I have not seen, nobody else seems to have picked that one up. I have not seen it on Led Zeppelin News or any of those. So there is a new movie in pre-production called Music on the Bones. And Jason Bonham is listed as an actor. And it would be his second actor role, as he was in Rockstar. Going back to somewhere in the 90s, I think that was. That was, yes. So there you go. That's big news, maybe. And actually, his filmography begins with Song of Rain and Sin. He was 10 when Song of Rain and Sin came out, and he was about 6 or 7 in the actual movie. But that's where his filmography begins. But listen, Jason has been drumming since he was 4, and the greatest drummer in the world was his drum teacher. That'd be John Bonham, by the way. So it's natural. It seems to be somewhat in his blood, and then he's always been surrounded by it. So he's a very good drummer, and he has been. Occasionally you hear people say, "Oh, he's not a good drummer. Nobody would care if he wasn't John Bonham's son." But the thing is, he's been a professional drummer for 30 years. His first, as I point out, 32 years actually, his first discography is a band called Air Race in 1984, Shaft of Light, and you heard a little bit of that in the intro. And then there's a band called Virginia Woolf, which he was in, and they did albums in 86 and 87. So we're now getting 20 years old. And when he was 22, he went on tour with Jimmy Page, who was, needed a good drummer. Because, it was his only solo tour, really. So, and then he trusted Jason to keep the thing going. He says something about Jason, I think, as a drummer. Then he formed his own band, Bonham, and did two albums, one in 89, one in 92, called The Disregard for Timekeeping and Mad Hatter. Then in 93, appeared on a Muddy Water Blues Tribute to Muddy Waters album, put together by Paul Rodgers, and I believe this won a Grammy, and he was on that and part of the band. Then formed a band of his own again called Motherland and had another album in 94. Then came the Jason Bonham Band. This came out in 97. It was called In the Name of My Father, the Zep Set. And it was a live album featuring the Jason Bonham Band playing Led Zeppelin songs. And I have heard this one. And it was good. And this is where I believe Tony Catania first comes into Jason Bonham's life. This is the band where Tony... when he did the Led Zeppelin experience some 15, 10, 12, 13 years later, he turned to Tony Catania again. So there we go. Rockstar is 2001. And that's on his, he appeared on a Little Steven album on Rockstar soundtrack, Healing Sixes, You Are Here by UFO. He toured with Foreigner from 2004 to 2008. He appeared, of course, with Led Zeppelin at the O2. And then there's Black Country Communion, California Breed, The Circle, and a live album by The Circle with Sammy Hagar and Michael Anthony, and if you go back to episode 96 back in May 2015, I talk about The Circle, and it's an excellent album. It's actually, that live album is excellent. So Jason Bonham's a really, really he's a solid professional drummer. You know, it doesn't matter who his dad is, or all that stuff becomes irrelevant at some point. You know, who your dad is in the music business matters for getting you in the door. People know you. If you, you know, you grew up around some guys, then they'll listen to your demo. It's easier to get them to do that, right? That's a given. But beyond that, there's a time where, you know, it's like, and if you're a student and you're off to school, you need to understand this about life. Your degree is irrelevant 20 years from now. It's what you've done since then that will matter. You know, your first job, your degree will get you your first job, maybe your second one. Everything else is what did you do in that job? How did you perform? And really, the degree will have little to do with anything. So, and the same comes with being a musician. You may have a famous daddy who can get you in the door. Maybe he'll get you an album. Maybe he'll get somebody to listen to your band's demo. And maybe if they think they might hear something there, they'll give you a chance. But at the end of the day, you know, it's perform or out in this business. And, you know, he's been in it for 30 years, professional. So it's a, to his credit that he's carved a nice career for himself in a tough, tough business, and a very tough time to be in the business, too. So that's all I'm going to say. It's happy birthday, Jason. Yeah, I think we're getting close to probably a reasonable time to pack it in. I say, yeah, it's been a month since I did anything, and I got, you know, 40 minutes worth of stuff to talk about, and that's about where it's at right now. So apologies that we're slow in between. And I do have kind of a little hoarded list of possible topics. And I'm going to have to dip into that list, I think. And so we'll go through. So what this means, by the way, is you're going to be getting lists. Top 10 new songs, top 10. And I, you know, yeah. But well, I will try to get something out a little more regularly than I have been the last couple of months. And we'll, we'll see how that goes. But thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with me. If you let me know on Facebook that you're missing, the podcast, as has been done the last month, I thank you. I thank you for your concern and your care. And I thank you for listening. Five years. It's great to have you out there. Thank you. So that's it. Let's call it Ramble On Radio episode 120. Check rambleonradio.com for news on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news reviews, links, etc. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. If you're in iTunes, go over. You're picking up the new Jeff Beck album. Just do a quick search, find it, and leave a review. A star or two or three or five. If you must, do five. And a quick review. And it just helps other people to find Ramble On Radio. Listen on Stitcher Radio. And on Spreaker, Spreaker, but not for long. You can download it from I am Brian Dammit on Podbean. And also check out Ramble On Radio on YouTube, where we have some previous stuff that's been uploaded. Thank you for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 119. And keep it coolin', babies.
Forums telling me what I'm doing.
Switch off the internet.